Let's have a little Bible study about a subject that a great many people are questioning today. You often hear people say, why do Christians suffer, or why do good people have so much trouble? There's a verse in the first epistle to Peter, of Peter, chapter 4, which reads like this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now evidently, we are not supposed to be troubled and to think it strange when trouble comes into the life of a believer. The first thought that most people have when they suffer themselves or when they see others suffer is, well, why should I have to suffer like this? What have I done to deserve this? Or perhaps something like, well, I suppose I'm just not living right, or he's not living right. Well, that's wrong. That's a mistaken notion, because there are many different reasons for difficulties and troubles. Before we consider why Christians suffer, let me just take a minute to say that not all people are believers. Not all people are Christians. And this may not apply to you at all. It may be that you have never trusted the Lord Jesus. And it may be that God is trying, by the troubles that he brings into your life, to show you your need of him. Perhaps some of your troubles are caused simply by your own sinfulness and your own mistakes and your own foolishness. And it's very unfair of you to blame God for this. Now, if you are a child of God, if you have received the Lord Jesus as your own Savior, and have really trusted your eternal welfare to him, if your sins have been put away by the precious blood of Christ, and still your life has in it sorrow and trouble, let me suggest some of the reasons which I see in the New Testament why these troubles come into the lives of Christians. Let me divide them up into seven different kinds, seven different reasons for this suffering. First of all, there is suffering that is correction. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 32 tells us, for this cause, because they were disobedient Christians, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or die. Hebrews 12 and 6 speaks about the same kind of suffering, the same reason for Christian suffering, where he tells us that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, that God chastens every son whom he receives. And if you receive not chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. So there is such a thing as a child of God receiving difficulty and trouble in his life because he is away from the Lord, out of touch with the Lord, and the Lord is drawing him back to himself. Now this should be, of course, our first thought, our first exercise. Maybe that the Lord is showing some of you who are listening that there is something wrong in your life that ought to be set right. Very well, then set it right. Turn to the Lord in honest confession. Don't fight him. Give in. Acknowledge that you're wrong. Not only confess the sin, but forsake it. But after you have settled this matter, and you say, well, I don't know of anything in my life that the Lord is trying to correct, well, then let me suggest another reason or two. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, he tells us that what he does to us may be preventive. It may be that the Lord is just going to keep us from doing something wrong. This is what we read. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So, sometimes, Christians are given troubles in order that they might be kept from getting into sin, that they might be kept down, that they might be kept humble. We're told in 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, or full grown, mature, establish, strengthen, settle you. It may be that the Lord has to give you difficulty like ballast in the ship, just to keep you from getting away from him. You haven't done anything wrong, perhaps, but this difficulty is a healthy thing in your life to keep you close to the Lord. Then in the 22nd chapter of Luke, and verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired thee that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now this is the kind of suffering that we have in the book of Job. Job was not a sinful man. Job knew the Lord. Job had brought his sacrifices for himself and for his children. But Job was like gold with a great deal of dross in it. Job needed refining. Job needed to have the pride taken out of his life. And this is a very real reason for difficulty in the life of a Christian. I don't believe that Christians ought to think of second causes. I don't think we ought to blame these things onto our fellow men and onto fellow Christians, and certainly not on bad luck. Why don't we just say, well, the Lord himself is the one who is dealing with me, and if he sees best to send me this difficulty, I'm sure that it will work to the refining of my nature and making me more like the Lord Jesus. Then in Romans 5, verses 3 and 5, you see that sorrow and suffering can be a means of education. Oftentimes, the Lord educates his children by putting us through sorrows, through difficulties. It seems that we don't learn much any other way. I've never learned much when I had a nice day, a good day. But we're told that we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation is the best education that a child of God ever gets. And you and I are being educated since we have received Christ as our Savior. Now, the Lord doesn't educate us until we take his Son. But when we do, then he begins to educate us and train us for the next world. And you and I ought to be thankful for it. Then I just read to you here in 1 Peter that part of our suffering is suffering persecution in fellowship with the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, marvel not if the world hate you. Know you not that it hated me before it hated you? Many of the Lord's people have had to give their lives. And that's a great deal of suffering to go through. And all because they were hated by those who are not the Lord. It's probably just as hard to take the suffering of persecution that we get from our own families as to have to suffer as they did at the hands of authority. Persecution. And then 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 6, and again in the fourth chapter in verse 15, tells us that we as Christians may have to suffer in order to make us more sympathetic with others. After all, when you're in trials and troubles and difficulties, who do you really want to come to sympathize with you? Someone who has had a very pleasant life and whose life has been filled with laughter, or somebody who's been through the same suffering that you have? The person who can really help you is one who has learned God in the furnace of affliction. He knows that God can comfort him because he himself has been comforted of God, and so he's able to give comfort to others. And it's worth it. It is worth it to learn to suffer in fellowship with the Lord, so that you, in turn, can sympathize with those who do suffer. That's six reasons, and let me give you one more. In James 5, 7 and 8, he gives us a hint here that some suffering is for the purpose of weaning us away from this world. You have the same thing in 1 Peter 3, 14 and 16. It would seem that the sorrows and sufferings of life make us less interested in this life and more interested in the life to come. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And when you and I go through trials and difficulties, it just turns us to the Lord and makes us long for that time when he's going to take us home to be with himself. And if the trials and difficulties in your life as a Christian make you long for the return of the Lord and love his appearing, isn't it worth it? Isn't it good? Isn't it a blessing? Shouldn't we rejoice then in tribulation? Shouldn't we thank him for the trials and the sorrows and the troubles rather than trying to turn away from them? Now, if you're not a child of God, let me urge you to turn to the Savior. Receive him as the one who suffered and died in your place so that you might be spared the terrible suffering of an eternity out of Christ in the lake of fire. Thank God we as Christians will never have to suffer this, for our Savior has already suffered in our place. Our Father, we thank thee for thy dear Son. We thank thee for thy word. We pray that it may be a help to those who have listened to it just now, for we pray in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.